Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. Well, we're starting a new series today. Let's go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I've got, what do I have? One, two, three. I got four theme scriptures today. Four theme scriptures. So let's go ahead and just read through these four theme scriptures today to kind of set us in a direction. Set us on fire and set us in a direction. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Now it's interesting. James actually repeated himself three times. James chapter 2, verse 17. Says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 20. Do you not know, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So as James said, telling us three times in one chapter, over and over and over, and that's he's quoting from the Old Testament, he said, faith without works is dead. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then 1 John 5. 1 John 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says this. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So again, he said, listen, Jesus said, have faith in God. Faith without works is dead. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So faith. Faith is a noun. Faith is a noun. What does that mean? That means it's a thing. Faith is a noun, and it means this. It means a persuasion or conviction of truth. It means belief or guarantee. It's a noun. Faith is a noun. Faith is a noun. So it's a mindset, but it's more than a mindset. See, faith is of the heart. And both in the Greek and the Hebrew, when it talks about the heart, it talks about our mind and it talks about our spirit. And sometimes it's specifically talking about one or the other, and so we need to figure that out. But generally speaking, we can see, when I say it's a mindset, when it's of the heart, it has to do, it's a mindset, it's the way we think. Why? Because it's a belief. But then belief is of the heart, and so it's also of the spirit. So it's a mindset, but more than that, it's a spiritual conviction. It's something on the inside that we just go, I know that I know that I know. It's a belief. Okay? Faith is a noun. Hey, this is interesting. Believe is a verb. Believe is a verb. It means to have faith in. So it's not just a belief, but it's to have faith in. It means to entrust. I mean, you can trust someone, but to entrust. See, can you see the difference? It's an action. It's an action. It's a verb. It means to believe. To believe. So believe is an action word. It would be acting on what is said. Because we have a belief, and because we say, I believe, then it means that we are going to act on what is said. Act on that belief. So now, since faith is a noun, James needed to add this. He needed to add works and corresponding action for us to get results. Amen? Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So, see, because faith is a noun, James had to add the action part. There needs to be works. There needs to be corresponding action to your belief. Belief itself does not make does not produce results, right? And when James is talking about it, he said, listen, even the devil believes. He has a belief. But it's not making a difference. It's not creating any results in his life. So belief is important. Belief is needed. But belief is not the destination. Belief is not the end. Belief is where it starts. And then we need to act on that belief. Faith without works is dead or unproductive. It doesn't produce results. Believe is an action. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. So the title of my message, or what we're in this series, is Active Believing, Seeing Results. Active Believing, Seeing Results. Romans chapter 3 and verse 27 says this. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? The law of works? No. But by the law of faith. The law of faith. The law of faith, or the word law can also be translated principles. The law of faith, or the principles of faith. See, the thing about a law is it's predictable. The thing about a law is it's constant. The thing about a law is that it's the same for everybody, right? The law of gravity is for everybody. It's not just for young people or old people or skinny people or fat people or old people or middle-aged people or white people or black people or brown people or yellow people. No. Yeah, I'm a young. It is for everybody. It's a law, and it's constant. It's consistent. It's predictable, and that's why flying is a very safe way to travel because gravity is predictable. See, flying would be very dangerous if gravity was not predictable. Because flying is counting on gravity continually wanting to pull the aircraft down. So the faster you go, the more you tap into a higher law of lift, thrust, and lift, and you lift. But as you slow down, it's very predictable about coming down. So you can land very simple. Now, all of a sudden, you throw wind in and you got a few different things like that. All of a sudden, it can be a little sketchy. But gravity doesn't change. It's predictable. And it's for everybody. The law of faith is constant. It's predictable. It's for everybody. Amen? Isn't that good news? The law of faith. The law of faith. The principles of faith. The principles. These beliefs. So how, this is how faith or belief works. How does faith or belief work? So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4:13. The law of faith or the principles of faith. Verse 13 says this, and since we have the same spirit of faith, right, it's the same. It's the same all the time. It doesn't change. It doesn't change from generation to generation. It's a law of faith. It's constant. It's consistent. It's predictable. It's the same. It's the same. The same spirit of faith. According to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. What's the principles of faith? How does faith work? How does this belief work? We believe and speak. We believe and we speak. This is how faith works. Believe and speak. So if we go back to Mark chapter 11, Mark chapter 11, Mark chapter 11, again, verse 22 says, Jesus speaking, he said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. He said, put your belief in God. Our belief is to be in God. In order to get results, we're going to have our belief in Him. Have faith in God. Some translations say, and the cross-reference says, have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of belief. Or have the faith of God or the belief of God. Well, how do we do that? Well, we saw that in one of our theme scriptures. Faith or belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We just talked about a series about transformation. And we found out that the way we experience transformation in our lives is by the renewing of our mind with the Word of God. That's how belief comes. By changing the way we think with the Word of God. That's how we get God's belief. What does God believe? He wrote us a book. So we can know what he believes. This is the way he thinks. This is the way he operates. So he said, listen, I want your belief to be based. You want to have a belief like me? He just said, I wrote a book for you. Read the book. Spend time in the book. Hallelujah. Get my beliefs. Let my beliefs rub off on your beliefs. Right? Spend time. Choose to believe what I believe. So, verse 23 says, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done or will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Now again, my spiritual father, Brother Hagin, the Lord, you know, one day he was praying and the Lord said to him, did you notice that the word say in that verse is three times and the word to believe is there once? And he said, no, I didn't. So he opened up his Bible and he read it and sure enough, whosoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that he'll have whatever he says. He'll have whatever believe that what he that the things that he says will come to pass. He'll have whatever he says. And he said, well, yeah, sure enough, look at that. 3-1. And so the Lord said, you're going to have to teach three times as much on the saying part as the believing part in order for people to get it. And so we need to continue to get it. Hallelujah. Now, it was interesting because as I was reading, I've got my Strong's Concordance, you know, my big Strong's Concordance book. It's on my shelf. And then I've got from back in the day, back in probably, remember in the, I guess, the early 2000s, you'd have a phone, and then you had a PDA, and you had a personal digital device or whatever it's called, assistant, personal digital assistant or something like that, where you would make your notes and you had your calendar and everything was digital, and then they got to the point where they decided to put the PDA and the phone together, and so I've got one of those, and I was able to download a quick verse which had the Strong's Concordance and the King James Bible all together. And so I've got my little phone still, and I got it plugged in, and I can go through the Strong's Concordance. And so I was looking up this verse the other day, because remember what I've been saying is that the three words say is the first one is the first. I said the first say and the last say were the same word. And the middle word is the word Lego. Well, as I'm looking at my PDA and I'm going through my scriptures again and I'm looking at this verse, it's like all of a sudden, it said. And the reason I said that is because when I went online, it told me that the first and the last say were the same and the middle one was Lego. But on my PDA, I looked and it said it was showing me that the word, the second say and the third say were the same word. First one was the only different one. So I went to my Strong's Concordance. I grabbed my big book and I'm flipping over and I found it. And it says, sure enough, the second and the third word are the say are the word Lego. But there's an asterisk beside the third one, saying that the authorized version has changed it. So I had to go all the way back to the front and find out, what does that asterisk mean? I mean, what's the little star mean? And I'm going to look and find out. Okay, it lets me know. So, some translations it's this way, some translations it's the other way. So it's interesting. It doesn't change the meaning a whole lot, okay? But I'm just going to let you know that that's what I found out, and that's what I'm going to kind of share a little bit this morning. So the first word is the word IPAW, and it means to speak, to call, to tell, to grant, or to command, right? So it's about exercising our authority. Whoever will say to this mountain, whoever will say to the mountain, whoever will speak to the mountain, whoever will call to the mountain, whoever will tell the mountain, grant the mountain, or command the mountain to be removed, exercising our authority. The first word, say, is an exercise of our authority. Whether we're calling it to come, whether we're telling it to go, whatever that might be, it's a command. It's exercising our authority. Whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he says, believe that the things that he says, believes that the things that he says. Now the second word says is the word Lego. It means to lay forth a systematic set discourse. It means to name, to call, to describe, or to say within oneself. So it's this building line upon line. It's an assembling. It's a building. It's a growing. So the word Lego is, right, to name. So the first one is to release the command, but the second one is to start building and assembling and causing something line upon line to be produced, a result to be produced. First one's a command, and then we have to believe that what we're saying, believe that what we're building, believe that what we're calling and naming and describing and saying within ourselves is coming to pass. So it's not just the command. We release the command, and after the command, now we're building something, and we have to believe that what we're saying, believe what? Believe that what we're naming. What are we naming? We should be naming. I call you healed. Be healed, the command. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Be healed. Now from that point on, I'm naming with my words. I'm naming myself healed. Lord, I want to thank you. I'm healed. Be healed. Be strong. Be healthy. Full freedom of motion. Remember when I talked to you about my finger? Be healed. I call you healed. What am I doing? I'm naming it. I'm naming. I'm building by naming what I want. I'm building by naming. I also call. What did God do? God changed Abraham's name. And then from that point on, every time he named, every time he called, said that, he was naming himself. He was building something. He was assembling Father of Many Nations. Every time he said it, he was naming. Okay, to name, to call. God does what? He calls those things that be not as though they were. To call. To call is to build and to assemble. Right? You call the dog. If Fido, 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 come here, come here, come here, Fido, Fido. And then they come. Call. You're building, assembling. You're causing a result. To build, to assemble. You have to believe that what you are calling is coming to pass. To describe. To describe. We have this picture. When we get the Word of God down on the inside of us, and He can show us something, and we have this picture. And this picture is released with words. The picture is released with words. So the word might be, we might have this picture, and the without having to describe the whole picture, the Lord might just give us the word free. Free. And when we speak the word free, we're declaring a whole description. We're describing. We are building something. We are describing free. You know, when I see Romans chapter 8 and it says that since the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, He's quickening my physical and mortal body. He's quickening my physical and mortal body. And so then I begin to say this, Lord, I want to thank You that the very life of God flows through my veins. So here's quicken, quicken, the word quicken. And then this is how I describe it when I speak over my body. Lord, I want to thank You. The very life of God flows through my veins, permeating and penetrating and saturating every cell in my body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, from the tip of my toes to the tip of my fingers. I'm healed, I'm healthy, I'm whole, I'm delivered, can you see this? There is a description. Quickened, healed, healthy, whole, filled with life, vitality, strength, energy, youthfulness, alertness, stamina. Description. I'm saying it because I'm building it. And once it's built, then we get to maintain it. Amen? And so, but we need to believe that what we're saying is coming to pass. We need to believe what we're commanding or what we're naming is coming to pass. We need to believe that what we're calling is coming to pass. We need to believe what we're describing is coming to pass. God says, when we honor Him with our tithes and offerings, so shall our bank accounts, our storage places be filled with plenty, and we will burst out and overflow with new wine. It's a description. We need to then begin to see that our bank accounts are full and overflow with money. It's a description. We need to believe the description is coming to pass. It's not just a matter of saying it. The words are not just magic wands. Poo, 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 poo. But we must believe. We're using our words on purpose, intentionally. And we must believe that they are coming to pass. To say within oneself. It was interesting when I was reading about this word Lego. One commentary talked about to say within oneself. So it's not only just enough that we're saying with our words, because we can say things with our words and think contrary. What are we saying to ourselves? What are we saying to ourselves? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What are we saying within ourselves? We need to get them to line up. We must believe. That's of the heart. That the things we're saying, that's in the natural, they must come together. See, the word doubt means differ. Shall not doubt in his heart. What does that mean? That means what we're saying and what we believe or our belief is different. Doubt, differ, double. I believe something or I have this belief, this faith, this I have this belief, and what I'm saying is different. Differ. God says, listen, they need to be the same. Doubt not in your heart, but believe that the things that you say will come to pass. Believe. An action word. Believe. An action word. Believe that what you're saying is coming to pass. And then the third word, also lego, and you will have what you say. You'll have what you've been building. But if it's the other word, you'll have what you commanded. Either way, it's the same result. We just need to believe that we receive. We need to believe that what we're saying is coming to pass, and we will have it. Amen? We'll have what we've been building. We'll have what we commanded. We'll have what we called. We have what we spoke. We'll have what we've been speaking. We'll have what we've been naming. We'll have what we've been describing. We'll have it. So we must believe and trust that the words that we're speaking, the command that we are telling the mountain is coming to pass, being built and assembled. And we shall have what we are building, calling, naming, describing, and assembling. We shall have it. Amen? So active believing see, if we actually believe, let me say this. If we actually believe what we are saying, it will initiate a response. Doubt not in your heart, but believe. We have what we say that we believe in our heart. If we actually believe what we're saying, it's going to initiate a response, and it's usually a joy and an expectancy. Believe. It's an action word. Believe is an action word. So it initiates a response. There's action, a joy, and an expectancy. So active believing is a way to emphasize, right? Because see, active believing, since believe is a verb, it's kind of funny to say active believing, but I think, I know for myself, for a long time, you just kind of have belief, and believe will be the same thing. And too many times, we understand that it's not enough just to believe. Faith without works is dead, so it's not enough just to have a belief. Believing is an action. Believe is a verb, and it's like, oh, interesting. It's a verb. So it actually means there's some action to it. But I think a lot of people don't know that. And so they think just belief and believe, just believe. No, there needs to be some action tied to the believing. There needs to be faith without works. So there needs to be action tied, corresponding action tied to the belief. And so to say active believing, I guess it's more of a way to emphasize the action part of belief to get results and not just the belief itself. Active believing. Hallelujah. So let's go to Romans chapter 3. Back to Romans chapter 3. It's interesting. Romans chapter 3, as I was reading through this, there is a bunch of times the word faith and believe are in there. And so let's just go through this. Romans chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 3. It says, "For what? If some did not believe, will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and everyone a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified by your works and may overcome when you are judged." So, what do we see here? He says, for what if some do not believe? What if they don't act on what they believe? What if they don't have any persuasion or conviction of the truth? Will their unbelief, you know, and again, unbelief does not mean non-belief. Unbelief just means they believe something different. Their belief is in something else. They choose to believe and act on something contrary to God's word. You know, when it's talking about believe, it's talking about believing God, acting on what God said. Will their unbelief, will their choice to believe and act on something contrary to the word of God, will it make the faithfulness of God without effect? He said, no. God's faithfulness is not determined by what we believe or our belief. What we believe doesn't change God. It only changes what we receive. Amen? What we believe does not change God. It only changes what we receive. Because God's faithfulness, let God be true and everyone, I mean, it doesn't change God. God's faithfulness, God is faithful because of who he is, not because of what we do. He's faithful. That's just who he is. So if we experience his faithfulness, it's because we are tapping into him, or somebody's been praying on our behalf, standing in the gap for us so God can work on our behalf. Right? God's just faithful. When we tap into it, it's because we choose to believe him and walk with him, work with him. He's faithful. He's faithful. So now let's pick up in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. So we see the two words in this one verse. He said, listen, the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus, it's our belief in Jesus that makes righteousness legally ours. Our belief in Jesus gives us access to righteousness. And what is righteousness? Well, we've talked about that even in our series on justice. What is righteousness? Righteousness is where God makes things right, sets things right, puts things right. It's what's right. And so I guess one of the big things is when we're made the righteousness of God, we're made right with him. Amen? But it's more than just being made right with him. It's where he can actually work on our behalf, justice in our life, where he can actually set things right, put things right, make things right in our life. We're made right with him, and we want things to be made right in our lives, our situation and circumstances. So belief in Jesus gives us access to righteousness, gives us access to what's right, gives us access or makes what's right legally ours. Justice is legally ours. But having it legally ours doesn't mean we experience it. So how do we experience it? How do we enjoy it? To all and on all who believe. There is no difference. So it's the believing part that causes us to go just beyond the access that belief gives us. But believing, see, it's the doing, it's the acting that causes us to receive justice, to receive what's right. You know, we need to believe, we need a belief in Jesus, but that wasn't enough. We need to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's the action part. We get the belief, and then we need to act on the belief. That's called believe. That can be kind of confusing. No wonder we just think belief and believe is the same thing. But I'm going to highlight this so we can kind of just see, wow, they're different, and yet they just work together so well. It's so cool. I mean, they can be separated, but really it's very they work together. Belief and then act. Belief. I choose to believe that. What does that mean? That means I now act on it. That is a belief that I choose to believe. That means I act on it. It's not enough just to have the belief. The belief doesn't create results. The belief gives us access. The belief makes it legally ours. But now when I choose to believe it and act on it, now I can receive it. He says, listen, for there is no difference. There's no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean? That means that we're all on a level playing field. God is not a respecter of persons. This is available to everyone. Access to his righteousness is available to everyone. It's for everyone. Because we're all on the same level playing field. And he talks about this, whether it's Jew or Gentile, whether it's from the household of Israel or from the nations, in with the covenant people or outside of the covenant people. He says it's available to all because we've all sinned. We've all sinned. Because Israel, God set the law. And he set the standard of the law so high that no one can actually keep it. So everyone's on the same level playing field. We all need him. We all need righteousness. Our works, our good works, are filthy rags. I mean, because we cannot keep the law. It's just not possible. It wasn't designed to be kept. It was designed to expose our need for God because we cannot do it in our own strength. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. He said, listen, there is no difference. There's no difference because everyone has sinned. Everyone is spiritually separated from God. But this belief gives us access, and our acting on that belief, which is the word believe, an action word, a verb, causes us to receive his righteousness, to receive what's right, to receive justice in our lives. Being justified, that's another word for righteous. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This receiving his righteousness, this receiving his justice, this being justified is a result of his grace. It is something that he's freely given us. It's not something we earn. And that's what Israel got so hung up on, is they thought it was something that was earned based on their works and performance. Because that's the way the law was set up. Works and performance. But the law can't be kept. So it was to just cause this aha moment going, I can't do this. I need you. I need your help. And God shows up and he said, I have my righteousness and I want to freely give it to you. It's not based on your performance. It's not something that's earned. It's something that you get access to by your belief in Jesus. And you experience it by your believing, verb, acting on what your belief is. Acting on what Jesus said. And that's what the Bible says a few times. It says this was the stumbling block. This whole idea of belief and faith was the stumbling block. They kept stumbling over this because their whole mindset and the culture was built on works. performance, earning it. And Jesus showed up and said, it doesn't need to be earned. All you need to do is believe. It's available, just believe. So that means it's available to us as Jews, and it's available to us as Gentiles or those in the nations outside of the household of Israel. It's available to everyone. And it just boggled their mind because it was such a far out wild. And that this is the way God had said it all the way through. And somehow they just didn't see those scriptures where God said, I'm going to reach out to the nations. They're going to come in. There's a way. I didn't separate you so you would to eliminate the rest of the nations. I pulled this one nation out. I separated this nation as an example so the rest of the nations could come in and experience what you have. But I've set you up as an example. Not to exclude everyone, but to be a witness and a sign for everyone to follow. So, the end of verse 26 says, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Right? So our access to the justifier, to the one who makes righteous, to the one who brings justice, who loves justice, the one who wants to set things right, put things right, make things run out right in our life. Our access to him, he wants to be the justifier. He's be just and the justifier. In other words, for him to justify us without us, without our belief in him, would be unjust. It'd be wrong. See, that's the interesting thing about 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? That means as we acknowledge that was a sin, acknowledge that was not right. Lord, I apologize. He says he's not only faithful, but now he's just. It's right. In other words, for him to forgive, another word for him to cleanse without our first acknowledging would be unjust or wrong. So he says, I have to make a way where I can legally do it right. Because I'm faithful, I want to do it, but I can't just do it. I can't just cleanse them from all unrighteousness because I want to. That would not be right. That would not be legal. So I need to do it legal. How do we do it legal? Well, we must confess or acknowledge that was sin, that was not right, that was contrary, you know, to the Word of God. And he says, if we do that, then he will be faithful. It releases him to do what's right. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So he wants to be just and the justifier. He wants to justify, but he has to do it right. He has to do it legally. And he said the way he legally can get involved in our lives to create justice and be the justifier is we must have our belief in Jesus. Belief in Jesus. The one who has faith in Jesus. Amen. You see that? Where is the boasting then? Well, it's excluded. By what? By what law? The law of works? No. But by the law of faith. See, we can't boast. Oh, I'm forgiven. Why? Because of what I did. Well, I didn't know. I mean, there's no boasting. I made righteous. Why? Well, because of, you know, these 12 things I did. No. It's not based on what we did. It's based on what he did. And our belief in what he did. And the word believe, I mean, literally is an action word. So there is works involved. But our faith is not in our works. Our belief is in him. So there's works that are involved, right? Because believe is an action word. Because believe is an action word, there are works involved. But our faith is not in our works. The results are not based on our works. The results are our belief in what He did and who He is. He made it freely available to us. He's the one that gave it to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't earn it. It's not something that's earned. Our work did not earn it. Our work received it. Our action received it. Our action did not work, did not earn it. And I think that was the whole hang-up, is the Jews were so, it was their culture to earn it. And Jesus said, you just need to believe. And so our faith is not in our earning it by our action. Our faith is in our receiving from Him. Freely receiving from Him by our action. That's why faith without works is dead, and believe is a verb. There's still action, but our faith is not in our action to earn it. Where's the boasting? Well, the law of works? No, it's not the law of works. There is no boasting. Why? Because it's already freely given to us. So we don't have to earn it. It's actually given to us. How do I receive it then? The law of faith. The law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Okay, so now it becomes very straightforward. So it's not something I earned. It's something I receive by my belief. It's not the deeds of the law that I'm trying to earn something. It's my belief in Jesus that gives me access to it freely. Or is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also the God of the Gentiles or the nations? Yes, of the Gentiles or the nations also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision by faith, how has it come? It comes by faith. It comes by faith. To everybody, it comes by faith. It comes by our belief in Jesus. Do we then make void the law through faith or our belief? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law by our belief. Verse chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? In other words, what did Abraham get a hold of, you know, in the natural, when he was alive? What did Abraham get a hold of? I mean, if he's called the father of our faith, he obviously got a hold of something. To where God said, listen, I mean, he's the father of our faith. Okay, well, what did he get a hold of then? What did he get a hold of? The Bible says, verse 2, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? It says that Abraham believed God, and it was credited or accounted to him for righteousness. He believed God. He believed God. It's this belief in Jesus that gave us access, made it righteousness legally ours. What did Abraham get a hold of right here? It says, listen, Abraham believed God. Verb. It wasn't just a belief. He acted on the belief. He believed God. He acted on what God said. He believed what God said and acted on what God said. And it gave him legal access, caused him to experience and receive righteousness, justice, the promise. And finally, he's going to talk about the promise. The promise. Justice, setting things right, putting things right, making things right. How do we know what's right? The promise, the great and precious promises of God. The promise. Hallelujah. Faith gave him access to the promise. Believing, acting on that, caused him to receive it. So now if we go to, actually, Verse 11. Whoa. Talking about Abraham, says, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, the belief, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all who believe. So his faith, his belief in Jesus, his belief in God, and, you know, in his case, Abraham, belief in God, and then he became the father of those who believe, action word, verb, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of the circumcision of those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So he said, listen, this belief is for the circumcised and the uncircumcised. It's for everyone. This belief gives us access, and our believing or our acting on what we believe causes us to receive, Jew or Gentile, Jew or any of the other nations. It's available to everybody. There was no distinction. He's continually getting this point across. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So righteousness is available to all by faith, belief, and then we receive it through believing. Notice this, it says here, in chapter 4, it said, or verse 4, it said, walk in the steps of the faith. There are steps of faith. There are steps of belief. Abraham had a belief, and then he took action. Steps of faith. Steps of the belief. And that's what chapter 4 talks about, is goes on and talks about the steps. So, let's quickly just kind of go through a few, and then we're going to pick up next week. It says, for the promise, verse 13, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Right? It was the belief. It's the belief that gave him access to the promise. For of those who are of the law are heirs, faith or belief is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. In other words, if there was no speed limit on the highway, we couldn't be pulled over for speeding. You know, if there was a limit and it was like 50 miles apart, and you came off a side road and got on the highway, they couldn't pull you over. You're going too fast. Really? How fast am I supposed to be going? I mean, I was looking for a sign. I was looking for a sign for 15 minutes. I was looking for a sign. I couldn't tell what I just picked a speed. Yeah, right. You couldn't beat a ticket. I mean, if there's no sign, they couldn't give you a ticket. That's why when you pull off a sign road, there's a speed limit sign there to let you know. I mean, you might have been going 50 on this side road, but when you get on the highway, you can go 100, 110, 120, whatever it might be. There should be a sign right away to let you know, because everything changed. You came off of this road at this speed, but now you're coming on this road and it's a higher speed. Or you come off the highway and you go on a side road. There should be a sign to let you know. You can't be going the same speed. Right? That's all he's saying. He's saying, listen, where there's no law, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Therefore, it's of faith. This belief that we have, this belief. God tells us what to believe. Our belief. Our belief in what he said. Our belief in the promises. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. It gives us access. Our belief in what he said gives us access to his grace. In other words, it gives us access to everything he has freely given us, the promises. Amen? We tap into what he has made available to us. Grace means this: his graciously responding and favorably acting on our behalf with his power, his ability, and his resources. It's all made available to us. We have access to it by our faith, our belief in what he said. And as we, therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace, that the promise might be sure or guaranteed to all the seed. See, we now have access to this, and it is guaranteed to us because of our belief in what God said. We have access to what's freely given to us. And it's sure or guaranteed to us, not only to those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham, the belief of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So our belief in what God said gives us access and makes it legally ours. And we will have to pick up here next week to continue on. It's legally ours, but we also want to receive and enjoy it. Amen? So this is just, you know, active believing, seeing results. We want to see results. And so we're talking about that, and so we trust that we're being encouraged and see more results in our life based on the promises of God that are freely given to us. Amen? Grace. We don't have to earn it. He's already freely given it to us. Amen? Glory to God.